WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Pro Wrestling Sports Entertainment.
Any man who falls behind is left behind.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
A craftsman is always pleased to hear his work is appreciated.
Bringing you the news and everything else in the world of professional wrestling.
I'm not entirely sure that I've had enough rum to allow that kind of thing.
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Fine gentleman, don't you think?
The Omega.
Don't dare impugn me on that boy.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
So this is your able-bodied crew.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
No one. There's no one. A distant cousin of my aunt's nephew, twice removed. Lovely singing voice, though. Unique.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I'm told it's the latest fashion in London.
And the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Me, I'm dishonest. And a dishonest man, you can always trust to be dishonest.
Hey, this is the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock.
This is Lance Storm, and if I can be serious for a minute.
You're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll, and the very first undisputed champion in WWE history, and you are listening to WTR Sunday Night.
It's WTR Sunday Night.
You're supposed to be dead!
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network Survivor Series 2020, 30 years of The Undertaker, and apparently the final year. It's been a show. So I'm sure our discussions tonight will be very opinionated about wrestling, peppered with a lot of memories of what was somewhat emotional ending to this tonight. I'm presuming, unless everyone wants to shit on it.
We're gonna crap on everything. Get ready.
Yeah.
Get ready. 3 hours of crap fest coming up right here.
Yeah, because it's the internet. We got to do that, right?
Yep.
Wait, we have to go for 3 hours?
Okay, 30 minutes.
1 minute for every year of Taker.
There you go.
Alright, so I guess we need to get on with it. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network. Joining me tonight, we have, well, the producer, Sir Rockin.
Yay!
We have with us one Keishi Matsunaga.
Hey, I survived Survivor Series.
It's probably gonna be on a t-shirt.
Yeah! As long as they mention that all I got was the t-shirt.
We have with us tonight, we have the intern.
My childhood hurts.
Wait, you just introduced him last, which means he has to do the Tim intro.
Well, I didn't introduce him last. I just said we have him. I didn't say, and oh, right. Tim's
well,
here.
He's the only one. He's the last one introduced. He should do the Tim intro.
Wait, what?
Greet everyone to the show.
Hey everyone, welcome to WTR Sunday Night. We're here for the Survivor Series recap show. There, good.
No, you got more. There's more. You know the bit. Come on.
No, I don't!
Make a shitty joke.
I don't work well on the spot!
I thought that's what I was doing. I was trying to make the shitty joke because Tim wasn't here saying that I survived.
See, you have a real Canadian there. I'm only half Canadian. And Omega's the honorary Canadian.
I only know Canadians. That doesn't make me honorary.
I mean, to Canadians it does, because we're that nice.
Can you give me your health care while you're at it?
I wish I could.
Anyway, let's get this ship going. Anyway, welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday, Russell Talk Radio Live, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. That's how it's done. Presented by Manscaped.com. Go to Manscaped.com. Use code WTRLIVE. You save 20% off and get free shipping till the end of this month. Go do the thing.
Not only is it free, but it's fast shipping. I got mine in like 3 days, and I live in Canada.
That's Canada.
That's unheard of.
That's on the other side of the world, apparently. Who knows?
Apparently. Hey, there was also a Mountie on the moose.
Was it Pierre?
Very professionally done. No, it was Jacques.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You got the good one. You got the original.
Yeah.
All right. So, we can either talk about the wrestling part of it, or we can start with Taker. What do you guys want to do?
I feel like the Taker part's what everyone wants to talk about.
Hey, I don't know. We had a 30-year resurgence happen earlier tonight.
This is true. For the first time ever,
he won his first title.
After 30 years in the business, that is incredibly remarkable.
Yes.
I mean, I never saw it coming.
You wish you had that career.
Dude, I'll never have that career. I've already said that I won't have that career.
I just love that we had two debuts happen 30 years ago, and they both came back, and then one of them won a title. And it's not the one you thought it would be.
Not be the one you thought it would be, no. But let's talk about Taker, because that's the freshest thing on our minds, and it's the saddest thing on our minds. So tonight, they paid tribute to The Undertaker in full WWE fashion. They brought out all the legends of the past.
And Savio Vega.
And Savio Vega. I don't know what I'm more surprised by. Kane in full gear, or they put the Godwins in the overalls?
Yeah, because here's the thing. With the Godwins, I'm like, well, for the Godwins, that is dressed up. So I didn't really give that a hard time. And then Kane came out ready to murder. I'm like, what am I actually going to see here?
It's like the biggest rib on Kane, having him get in full gear just to walk to the ring.
You think everyone else is going to be in character. Just like you remember, they're going to, you know, just no one told Glenn.
It was the thing they pulled on Sean a few years ago back in, what, Dallas? Where Austin and Foley were supposed to be in full get-up, and Sean was the only one in gear for the run-in.
I just have expected Kane to come, like, rolling out from his budget meeting just like that. Guys, I've got something to do in, like, 30 minutes. Can we wrap this up? He's, like, putting the hair on.
Or just, like, a suit and a mask.
Maybe that's how he dresses.
Corporate Kane.
Maybe that's just how he dresses.
It might be. So we had Shane McMahon, Big Show, JBL, Jeff Hardy with Undertaker-ish face paint, cause
right out of Hot Topic.
Foley was there, the Godfather was there, the Godwins, as mentioned, Savio Vega, Rikishi, Kevin Nash, Booker T, Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair, Triple H, and the full-on Demon Kane. They all made a full-on entrance, everyone got one. Booker T's graphics look weird, I don't know why.
Yeah, like this, and they updated them for the new Trons, I guess.
But they looked so bad. Then you had a whole nice video package for the Undertaker.
As all the legends got out of the ring.
They all walked back.
Yes. They all disappeared.
We're here to celebrate the Undertaker, and now we're gonna leave.
Thank you all for coming out. Now get the F back to the back.
Savio Vega's just like, I'm just happy to make a check.
I thought Kurt was supposed to be there tonight.
Kurt was planned, and he didn't show up.
I think he's the only name that was rumored that didn't show up. Oh, well.
I mean, it's a letdown, cause you expect all these, like, you expect them to stand there and tell, like, funny stories, because a lot of them are ones who never got to tell about their friendship with The Undertaker because of kayfabe. You know, why the hell is Savio Vega there? Because he was running buddies with The Undertaker. Like, we just started figuring that out a few years ago. We've never gotten the stories. I was, like, looking forward to, like, the Friars Club roast of The Undertaker.
We need that. That needs to be a thing.
Does.
That's just gonna be his Hall of Fame induction, is just 5 hours of everyone rolling out from the back going, okay, so the one time I was with The Undertaker.
So that one time, yeah. In the bar with The Undertaker.
Yeah. I mean, that's the
maybe
thing.
Maybe they'll
though.
Do it's it
like,
tomorrow on Raw.
Please.
Please, they have to. Like, because everyone's been holding back on these stories, they could fill a 3-hour show just with people talking about their experience with The Undertaker. Cause no one's ever gotten to get those stories out.
It was that mysterious sixth episode of The Last Ride, where they animated some of the stories and you finally got, you know, like, Taker having to be shuttled from a parking garage next door, him and Godfather fighting over a hat. Like, those are the things everyone wants.
All true stories. Then we had Vince McMahon come out.
Vince looked like 30 seconds away from just breaking down.
Yeah, man. I was really hoping that he would break. So hoping.
He came close, like.
He caught himself two or three times. You could tell he was right there, and he's like, nope, hold it together, Vince.
Yep. I just wanted it so that it would be like that scene from 300 where the guy gets like cut by the spear and they go, he's not a god!
When he had to say, we're here to say goodbye, he paused and choked up because that's tough on him because you could see it pains him to say bye to the Undertaker because that's his legacy right there. Then he brought out the Undertaker. All the smoke, the pyro that stayed completely away from him and did not burn his chest. Thank God.
The theme played on Tesla coils.
Mm-hmm. That was the best.
You get Undertaker's lightning to play his music. That's awesome.
That was fantastic.
I mentioned in our chat, I swear to God, you still hear that music and it still sends chills. 30 years later, you hear the gongs. You hear that organ hit and you instantly turn into like a 10-year-old going, oh, he's coming out.
Dude, you just mentioned gongs and I got goosebumps.
It took 30 years. He finally did not have to walk up the step.
It lifted him up. I noticed that when he's standing there and all of a sudden he raises his arms and he's going high, you know, kind of high on the post. And I was like, wait a minute. Is it,
Because they had to do something where, because, you know, he would raise the lights, but can't raise the lights because then you're just going to show nothing. Because the building they're in. And then he cuts the promo where it's finally time to put for the Undertaker to rest in peace. You see him choke up after he said it. I think we all did. And then he gets down on one knee and then you get the hologram of Paul Bearer.
That broke me. Broke me right in half.
That broke everyone. It was one of those things.
Absolutely. I mean, unless you don't have a soul, because maybe the Undertaker took it already, but.
But it's one of those things, like, at the farewell, Kane's there. Kane's a part of it. You're like, okay. But there's that big important piece that was missing. And you realize when Uncle Paul left years ago that you were like, oh, when Taker finally hangs it up, he's not going to be there.
No.
But they found a way for him to be there.
They made it work.
It was great and heartbreaking now, at the same time.
Do we have to thank like Tupac for doing holograms?
Oh no, I think the holograms spread enough. I've seen Nintendo put on concerts with their characters with holograms. Like, good.
not that I wouldn't thank Tupac, but.
No, this weekend we thank Snoop Dogg because they're collaborating with The Undertaker on merch.
Oh yes.
Cause why not? The fact that The Undertaker and Snoop Dogg were doing an Instagram live together. What world are we in?
The world is fucking weird now.
The fact he's on TikTok.
Yeah, he's on fucking TikTok.
I watched him do an interview pounding down hot sauce.
Yeah.
And like going up close to a million Scoble, not touching his milk, by the way. Cause even when he's just eating hot wings, he has to be a badass.
He reached for one time, went, no, I'm the Undertaker. I cannot drink the milk.
I wonder if he's ever done that one chip challenge.
Coming soon to him and his wife's TikTok. Taker doing one chip.
Then he left the ring, raised his fist, walked off into the sunset.
I think we all were just sitting there going, wait, this can't be it. Like, Bray's gonna come out. Finn's gonna come out. Someone's gonna come out at that last minute.
It was such a simple thing. Like, once Taker marched to the ring, it just became very standard. That I was thinking, like, where is the twist here? Where, like, I wanted the Fiend to come out for a passing of the torch moment. I wanted, you know, to see everyone come back out on the entranceway and just tell stories or just show appreciation for Taker. I was waiting for like a longer farewell speech. Something.
But that's not Taker. Like, that's not the character.
I know it's not Taker, but we've seen Undertaker breaking kayfabe so much at this point. It's just like...
He's currently doing it on the network, on the Stone Cold thing.
Yeah, he's doing his second Stone Cold interview.
Which is really good. You all need to go watch it. It's really, really good.
You mean like right now?
No, after we're done. It's on the man. So I watched it this morning in preparation for, you know, the feels of tonight, which on the thing, he does not say he's ever done. He's at peace with it. Those words never come out of his mouth, which always haunts you because it's like he's leaving that crack open.
Well, I think with him and Vince both have that mentality of they don't like finality. They don't want, you know, to fully close the book because you never know what's going to happen. If some, you know, miraculous story comes along that Taker likes, or, you know, January rolls around and he's kind of like, it's that after Christmas season. Something feels off. I kind of want to get back in a ring. Michelle rolls her eyes, of course, but if he gets that feeling, he wants to have the door open. So he never wants to admit it. And the same thing with Vince, you know, cracking at saying goodbye tonight, he doesn't want to admit things are over. And I think that's also kind of what we've seen with him and the company in general. He doesn't want to admit when it's time for things.
I mean, he did say it was time for The Undertaker to rest in peace. I don't think he said anything about Mark Calloway.
No, Mark Calloway is going to get a home in Florida and train the next crop of superstars. That's his probably future. Him and Shawn Michaels going to teach the future of the business.
Jesus Christ, that's going to be the best run of wrestlers we've ever had.
All of a sudden, the performance center attendance rate just shoots through the roof.
So yeah, it's been said in our chat, and yeah, it's the one thing that would have made this better, people. Like, that's the one thing you want for him. You want the 80,000 people chanting, thank you, Taker.
I don't want it pumped in from a previous WrestleMania or anything. I want the... Like, a real reaction.
That's what you want. As an Undertaker fan, you want the send-off. Yeah, I know we gave it to him at 33 and yada, yada, yada. We're coming up to 37. It's 3 years ago. You need the moment. Again,
yeah.
The send-off.
It's unfortunate, but you know what? This year took a lot from everybody. And, you know, it was the time to do it. 30 years on the dot.
That's what I was just going to say, is the fact that, like, you can always bring him out at Mania to get him a, you know, a great fan reaction. You know, when the time comes and he gets the Hall of Fame induction, he'll get that huge pop that everyone wants. But this was one of those moments where it's like, people are going, oh, they could have done this, you know, at Raw or at another pay-per-view with all the fans there. It doesn't have the same gravity as 30 years from his introduction. This was the marker.
Yeah, it was the perfect date, perfect timing, but you just the wrong year because of the year.
Yeah. Well, you know what you do? You go ahead and officially retire the character this year at Survivor Series, 30 years after his debut. 30 years in the industry flat. And then I guess it'll be a couple years from now.
About a year and a half, I would say, for him.
Year and a half. When it's time for the 2022, because the 2021's already locked up. 2022 WWE Hall of Fame, it's only one inductee. It's Taker. And instead of filling it with a bunch of random names from the Attitude Era, and now I guess, you know, the PG Era, but instead it's, you pull those big names, because you're pulling a Shawn Michaels, a Ric Flair, and all these chances to see these people, and it's literally just what we said. It is is the night of the Undertaker. That's where you get the out of kayfabe retirement speech.
This is where you get five inductors, the only man who will ever get more than one inductor for the night.
You could Friars Club roasted style, where you just give Taker like some big Undertaker style throne for him to sit in.
You pull out the ministry chair.
Yeah, like literally, yeah, like the chair they zoom in on during his video entrance. Pull that out of mothballs. Let him sit down on that chair and just spend 2 hours just letting legends come up and tell the stories. You'd have the most popular Hall of Fame ceremony ever.
Could you imagine trying to get tickets for that?
Oh my, you couldn't. You couldn't.
No, you know what? That's when you do it. At Texas Stadium. You do it at Jerry World. You put him on the 50-yard line because, you know, he would absolutely adore the fact that he's on a football field in Texas at that moment and just bring in 100,000 people to see Taker get roasted for the Hall of Fame.
It's money.
It is so much money, which is why I have no doubt WWE is going to fuck it.
Oh, Lord. Anyway, so yeah, in a year and a half, we'll see him again for the Hall of Fame.
I still remember his debut. I remember being young and watching it. And I mentioned that last night on CB Radio, you know, I grew up watching old WCW. So, you know, seeing Mark Calloway come out, you know, in a leather vest and, you know, his regular trunks. And it's just like, oh, okay, yeah, there's this tall redheaded guy. And then, you know, he debuts as The Undertaker. And when you're a kid, it just completely shocks you to see that entrance, to see him come out, no sell anything. And it was just...
Yeah, no sell, pale white, just staring death at everybody. He in his debut, he looked like a walking corpse.
And you know, the old funeral parlor segments with him and Paul and all of the creepy stuff they were able to do back then. Oh, God. There's not going to be anyone like it. Ever.
Oh, no. I mean, aside from the fact that we are out of the era where, like a big over-the-top character like that would actually work. There's just no one who's ever going to do it that well or commit to it that hard.
No, there really isn't. And they talk about it on the Stone Cold podcast. That there's no way. Nothing. You can't. We're in a different world. We're in a different world.
I mean, the fact it took him, what, 27 years to really kind of let the curtain fall even a little bit is remarkable.
Yeah.
I mean, do you remember, how freaked out we were when we first heard the words, "Hi, I'm Mark Calloway"? Like that first time the character slipped in any public venue at all.
Well, and I mean, there were little glimpses of things, like, you know, I can't remember what the video was or what it was for, but there was that one time after like a Raw when everyone was coming out and Booker was doing the spin-a-rooney and Taker like goes to the camera and is talking to Vince in the back saying, "I swear to God, I'm going to go back there and kick your ass if you think I'm going to do this." It was,
I mean,
like,
that's the American Badass days though.
Yeah.
Like, right.
He,
but
he got
but
to be himself then.
But it was still like, even in that moment, he's still like very guarded of things. So even seeing that little glimmer of, I understand that it's, you know, the American Badass and in a way Mark, but it's still that, like, when you're a fan and you finally see just that little glimpse, you're like, oh, wait, what?
But by the way, hold on.
Hi, I'm Mark Calloway.
God yes. Damn it, bro.
I love how the announcers were trying to explain Booker T's presence there, but you know it is the Taker-Rooney incident is the reason he's there. Because it's like the hardest someone ever tried to rib The Undertaker.
Yeah. I love Hunter's tribute. Hunter, like, for almost seeing the Taker Rooney.
Mm-hmm.
There were some great tributes on Twitter from the wrestlers. You guys need to take a look at them. Go do that. They're probably all over WWE's Twitter and stuff. All right. We'd spend all night talking about The Undertaker. We have a pay-per-view we need to talk about. As mentioned, 30 years ago, the egg opened up. We did not get it. We did not get Eggman. We got the Gobbledygooker, who won the 24/7 championship.
I popped so hard here for the fact that Gooker won.
Truth came out and was like, yeah, we're here to honor this phenom, and then he brings out the Gobbledygooker. It's like, I love our Truth.
I have expected someone like Drew Gulak to be in, you know, like to reveal. But I love that it's just like, nope, it was just the Gooker. Like, throughout the night, it was just the Gooker as 24/7 champion.
I mean, you could hear him celebrating under the head while he was out there. And I was like, that sounds nothing like Hector Guerrero.
But yes, 30 years, and he finally gets his due. That's it. Next year, the Gobbledygooker.
He won something.
Will go into the Hall of Fame as a champion.
And then, well, he fell for the trap. The birdseed trap.
Wile E. Coyote trap. It just needed a sign sticking out of it that said free seed.
Tozawa rolled him up, went the title, and R-Truth grabbed the bag of seed and won back his championship for the 45th time.
Jesus Christ. I hope when that finally runs its course, they just like expunge that record just cause it kind of shits on everyone else's like, I've won this many championships. I won this many championships. Like, cause like R-Truth has set the record for most title reigns in WWE now, purely on that fucking thing.
How many times did Raven win the hardcore title? That's
a lot. I think WWE even mentioned it, is like, no one's won a championship more times than R-Truth. And that belt's not been around a long time.
39 times Raven was your hardcore champion. 39 times.
But that included like a lot of house show title changes. They would pass that hardcore championship around in between tapings and all the way back to the guy who had it last time it was on Raw.
Well, that's kind of what they do now.
Except it's all televised now.
If they had house shows, they would do it there. You know.
I mean, it gets frustrating because like, it's in spirit of the 24/7 rule for, for the original hardcore championship. But the fun of that was watching Crash elude people's traps, not constantly fall into them and look like an idiot. And I'm sick of this gimmick. I'm just sick of the 24/7 belt at this point.
Especially it's the same gimmick over and over again. If someone different, like when Gulak won it, it would be great. You could turn it into something new.
Like, no, you need someone like just, you need like Braun to win it sometime just by accident. He doesn't even want the thing, but he's recognized as a champ and everyone's just afraid to do it.
Everyone tries to attack him and he's just swatting them away.
Yeah, you just need to do something different with it.
In other pre-show news, The Miz won a dual brand battle royal.
What does that prove?
Can we please not have Rey Mysterio do the 619 because he looks so pensive doing it?
And then Dominic tries to do it. And he tried, like, he's so slow at running to do it because he's so much taller than Ray was, so it's like, I don't know if it's as impressive as of him doing it.
No, not even close. And the other thing about that, if we want to talk about retiring spots, can we please get rid of the person is not eliminated from the Battle Royal, and then they come back at the very end to win it, even though, like, what would have been the, quote, final elimination, the bell never rings as a huge tip-off?
Yeah. They used to do it where the bell rang and then they're wait, no.
Yeah, it's just like every battle royal you see now has that spot. You know, they had one where like Carmella did it. They've had, you know, AEW do it. They've done it a bunch of times with WWE. It's right up there with the Kofi saves himself from being eliminated, but you've kind of run its course with that as well. They just need to, come up with some new spots for battle royals. We also had a Humberto Carrillo signing, which I completely forgot he was still on the main roster.
Did he get traded?
I don't even know what brand he's with!
That's what I'm saying.
I think he got drafted this, did he get?
Did he get drafted at 205 and Live?
No. I think he's on Raw.
Hang on.
I believe he's on Monday Night Raw. Yeah, he's on Raw.
Okay, I was gonna say, I'm going to the roster page to find out.
Cause I remember reading a thing over the weekend that he was on Main Event, which is the Raw show, so. That's where you can find Humberto Carrillo. It's on Manifest.
Oh boy.
Probably with Ricochet and the likes. So yeah, the dual brand battle royal for brand supremacy. Woo!
Also, the production guy I think got into a little bit of trouble earlier tonight with John Morrison's intro.
He was a little late. A little late on that one.
I don't know if Morrison came out early or if the production guy just didn't have it queued up, but he's halfway through his entrance and all of a sudden you hear Morrison's music hit and you look at him going, wait, what do I do?
I don't know if it was the production guy or the ring announcer said it too early. It's one of those things.
Well, look, he came out and he's still there with Miz's music and it's like a good 30 seconds before it's like Morrison's music hit. Normally it's like Morrison comes out, boom, music change. He does the slow-mo camera. It's like nothing was ready. So I don't know if Morrison like overshot his, you know, came out early for his entrance or if the production team was like, oh shit. Button.
Wrong button? You hit the wrong button? Oh yeah. Dual brand battle royal. Woo!
Raw wins the first match of the night. Yay.
The heat of confidence.
At least good for Chad Gable.
Yeah. Chad Gable looked really good. He looked really, really good.
Yeah. I'm actually surprised he made it to the final four in that match.
Someone likes him.
Yeah.
Don't know who. Someone likes him. Cause they gave him his name back.
Yeah. Thank God.
So that's something. When we get to the main show, we open up with the men's Survivor Series match. Team Raw of AJ Styles, Keith Lee, Sheamus, Braun Strowman, and Riddle taking on Team SmackDown, Jey Uso, Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, King Corbin, and Otis. Bye, Seth. Have fun becoming a father.
Both matches had some first eliminations I did not expect.
Well, Seth came out and he had a weird look on his face the whole time, and it was one of those kinds of things, like, you knew he was going to go away, but what was going to happen? Like, was he going to turn on Kevin and walk off? Nope, he martyred himself.
He's been getting his comeuppance on SmackDown in the last couple of weeks, so you kind of knew he was, like, closing all the loose ends before he goes. Because this is the way, it's like, all right, just take me out, put me out of my misery. Maybe he'll come back with a different gimmick when he returns in 2 months.
Nah, they laid the foundation for him to do the whole greater good thing when he comes back, I guess. But please actually get to a character change.
I think this may have run its course a little bit. Keep him heel, but maybe move away from the martyr thing and put him back in his true element, I guess. I don't know. What we learned tonight, Otis is freaking strong.
Yeah.
Like clashing with Keith Lee and staying on his feet.
Body slamming Braun Strowman.
Yeah. Good lord.
He is a big boy.
It's not all Twinkies and cholesterol there. Oh, there's some power. There's some muscle under all that.
Him suplexing dudes all over the place. Woo.
Oh man.
Give me more of that, Otis. Give me more of that.
Well, and maybe that's what they're going to start doing with him and Gable.
Mm-hmm.
You can start to see a little more of him than just, you know, lovable Otis. If they could also do that with Big E, that would be great.
Yeah, but I think Big E likes having a personality.
Well, I don't mind the personality. He can have the personality, but just, you know, let's also see him be a bit more of a badass at the same time. Like he can.
Oh, absolutely.
You can have a personality and still wreck people.
Yeah, like, and they just need to let him do it in the ring.
Yeah, like my favorite run for Brock Lesnar was him buddying up with Kurt Angle, just watching those two prank each other over and over.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say the boombox Money in the Bank briefcase.
Hell no,
Brock looked like he had fun.
I mean, he looked like he was having fun. Yes, clearly he was having fun, but also. Why?
Because
it's like John Cena put a spinner on his belt and Brock put a freaking boombox in his briefcase.
Because otherwise we just had Brock Smash no personality.
Brock Smash is a personality.
It is. One thing we had in this during the entrance, Keith Lee got new music.
Still not as good as his original.
But at least it's now the final form of what his new music is. And he approved of it, so. He's singing in it. So that's something.
Mm-hmm.
Something.
Yeah.
But I think the most surprising thing of them all, Team Raw all survived.
They decimated SmackDown. Let's just call it what it was.
Yeah. I mean, I was tempted to call that because they had so many monsters on their team, but I didn't think it would be like that overwhelming.
They always find a way to eliminate someone like Strowman or something like awkwardly.
Yeah, yeah. There's always that spot where everyone keeps swapping spots and running in, hitting finishers, and we get like five huge moves hit on Braun at the same time to put him down. We didn't get that.
No, we got.
Well, we did,
but just not. Anyway,
not then.
But it was total domination. It was like, all right, match itself was pretty solid.
Yeah, they did. I thought they did a lot of good stuff in there.
Otis shined. Keith Lee shined.
I kind of like the little spot with Kevin Owens where he's still a face. He's still, you know, being his normal self, but at the same time he's being vicious to Riddle and like stomping on his exposed foot and just, it's one of those things like you get that glimmer of back when Owens was absolutely ruthless, but it still like fits within his normal character now.
Good to see him back in gear.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's not just, you know, rolling out of the car.
Kevin Owens is caring again. Oh yeah. Yeah, Team Raw dominates and wins.
Jay has a sad after the match.
Yeah. He let the family down. Then we have New Day come out in their Gears 5 gear.
Jesus Christ.
Complete with revamped Francesca.
Yeah, oh man, Francesca, that was Lancer. Awesome.
Yeah.
See, I could play you a song or murder you.
Or do both at the same time. Murder you while playing a song.
Well, you think of how you play a trombone, sliding it back and forth. You could saw someone's head off with that.
Yeah.
Just play them, play the Undertaker's funeral dirge while you do it.
It'd be awesome if like in the game, when they actually saw someone, it like saws like the New Day rocks into it but in the sound of chainsaw. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Would that not be amazing?
I like how we're advocating for New Day, the most positive and upbeat of faces ever, to start murdering people with chainsaws.
Well, I mean, technically when they show the trailer, it's them just like murdering locusts, so I'm okay with it. And they're murdering locusts with positivity.
I mean, I'm not saying they'd stay face if they did it to King Corbin, but I'm not denying it either.
By the way, you can get that pack for free if you have the Xbox Game Pass Ultimate Edition. They're available now. That's cool. It's very cool.
Like how in Gears you now have 4 WWE guys.
Yeah, pretty cool. So then they gave them time to get off all the stuff. They let the
We are the Road Warriors. We don't know how to do this.
Because it's a lot of stuff.
They had way more stuff than the Road Warriors. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
They literally wore pants over top of their gear, and then Gears gear over top of the pants. There was a lot going on.
Yeah, it's full professional costume. It's not some cosplay, real, like, prop thing. It's like what the Gears people make to promote them at E3.
And you know, like, Xavier is telling them as soon as it all comes off, just put this to the side.
Don't let it get hurt. We're keeping this forever.
He shows up on stream tomorrow with it.
Well, now he's got, the New Day now have Gears armor and Dragon Ball armor. And they're just collecting geek armor and using WWE to pay for it.
Does that mean we're going to get New Day Con soon?
Oh.
Because I would not be opposed.
Yeah. I want it.
So the Street Profits would cut a promo and Montez Ford was just over the top about everything.
Yeah. How many Red Bulls that dude have before he went out there?
Jesus.
Bianca's just sitting off camera going, oh my God.
Till death do you part. Sorry.
I've had to listen to this spiel for like 10 times so far, for the love of God.
It's been practicing it in the bathroom.
It's still really weird to see him with a blue solo cup, though.
Yeah.
I'm just so used to, like, you know, NXT and Raw, it was the red solo, and I mean, everyone knows red solo cup, what it means. He comes rolling out with the blue, and you're like, wait, what?
And they even
make blue?
They make blue
ones. Yeah, exactly.
They shoot off the red ones, which is weird.
Well, that's probably because you can't get all of the different sizes in blue.
That's actually probably a really good point.
It's probably size in blue. That's it.
I mean, it'd probably be a cooler entrance if they varied the colors.
Oh, well, yeah, but then you'd be stepping into the New Day territory with rainbow solo cups.
I mean, they kind of were trying for this feud.
Well, yeah.
I mean, if they really wanted to throw it to New Day, then it should have been like sky blue and pink cups.
No, the only way it would really be stepping on the New Day is if the cups had little unicorn horns on them.
Or if they came out and instead of solo cups, it pancakes raining down on them.
Just imagine
pancakes with little unicorn horns.
I'm just imagining the WWE prop guy who had to sit in the back and glue a horn to each individual solo cup before they went on the air.
Interns, college credit, you know, that's all.
Work for WWE, they said. It'd let you expand your creative prospects, they said.
Hey, do you know what the interns at Disney have to do before they get their real job? Yeah, enough said.
So we had the New Day versus the Street Profits. Pretty good match, I would say.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
yes. It's a good
match. They didn't have to go out of their way and use every finisher from past tag teams like other great tag team matches we've seen recently.
I mean, would they have been allowed to?
They just used some of their own finishers from the past, which was a nice touch.
That was nice, yeah.
The one thing I really loved was the explanation of why the Midnight Hour didn't work in this instance.
That was actually pretty good.
I
love that explanation and the logic behind, well, it's Big E delivering it, so there's more power there. Cause I mean, you even saw it on Kofi's face of like, why didn't this work? This is our thing. It was a really nice subtle touch to this match.
The New Day, wouldn't say working heel, but they were more working heel because they were more of the aggressor side.
Yeah, they had the cockiness to them.
Kofi dropkicked that solo cup.
I mean, yeah.
I just like that one moment when New Day was starting to get their shine and Xavier just goes over to the announce desk and like, they're about to get a New Day ass whipping.
Yeah, I also enjoyed when Kofi was like laying on the apron on the outside with the cup and he's like showing it to me. He's like, there's nothing inside. It's empty. And then just boots it. Oh, I sometimes miss New Day not being heels because
They were great.
They were great. In the end, the profits go over.
With a huge blockbuster.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
That was... So we know that Montez Ford can get some hype, but to pull off a blockbuster off the top rope with someone in the electric chair pose, holy shit.
Yeah.
Really good. Really enjoyable match. Good finish. I think the right team went over.
Yeah, it was kind of that, like, the New Day didn't need the win. The Street Profits, when they get this win now, have kind of an extra feather in their cap. They're the up-and-comers. It kind of helps them out. And plus, it's not going to hurt the New Day to lose.
No, it doesn't hurt them
especially
at all.
Especially like that.
Yeah. No.
And now it gives the New Day something like, okay, New Day wins. Now okay, they've beaten everyone. Now they haven't beaten the Street Profits. So down the line, the match means something.
Mm-hmm.
So New Day has actually something to fight for. All right.
A nice little wrinkle to throw into their record.
Yeah. U.S. Champion versus Intercontinental Champion. Lashley and Sami Zayn. Sami spent the entire match trying to get disqualified. Really drawn out squash match.
I got confused as to who I was supposed to cheer for.
Neither.
Neither was worth cheering this. Like we have things like Sammy in the ladder match where everything is just so clever, and then we have things like this, like, he tripped me. He tripped me. Disqualify him. He tripped me. When Corey Graves trying so hard to
heel. Oh my god, he tried. He tried so hard to make Sammy's stuff mean something. He tried.
Oh, you can't...
This was a match where you needed the title to change beforehand to give you an out, because both these guys working their styles are not going to mesh. And I mean, we saw the feud before with the two of them. So we kind of knew how things might go, but it just felt like, God, you needed someone else in there. Now, for the love of God, not Apollo Crews. You needed someone, either Sammy or Bobby, drop the title. Because, I mean, we've already seen it once in this card, but give you a fresh look and give you something where the match will actually be something. With this, it was about an 8-minute filler.
Yeah, it went just about 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Not 2 minutes, it went 8 actual minutes. Lashley won. The best was, he tripped me. He tripped me. No.
Corey Graves swore, look, clear as day. He didn't even move his foot. No. Were you?
No.
I'm begging you, Corey, watch Bobby Heenan tapes. Don't just agree with the heel because you're a heel. Shit on the heel and be the bigger asshole because Sammy didn't execute it right.
He didn't know how to sell the heel.
So yeah.
Making yourself look like an idiot.
Lashley wins. We're all excited.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
By the way, for those just tuning in, this is WTR Sunday at Wrestle Talk Radio presented by Manscaped.com. Go to Manscaped.com. Use code WTRLive to save 20% off and get free shipping all month long. Do the thing right now. Up next, Raw Women's Championship is on the Raw Women's Champion versus SmackDown Women's Champion. Asuka, Sasha Banks, non-title. They didn't disappoint.
No. Nope. This is how you do a women's match. Other places. This is how you run a women's division. Because we've seen them fight before, but like they talked about, Sasha's never really been able to get the one-up over Asuka. And we saw that kind of play out during the match. She'd get frustrated. Asuka would get cocky. And there was just the story built in, and there was just good wrestling involved with all of this. But yeah, it gave an undertone to this match of, can Sasha finally pull it off?
Yeah, and when you see her going for the bank statement and missing it so many times, it does start to play that doubt in your head.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, Sasha was actually able, on her own, to beat Asuka.
That was nice to see, and I liked Asuka after the match, because her whole facial expression sold it of, how did this happen? And you start to see, like, some anger well up of, like, wait, what? Like, no, I've beaten her plenty of times. And Sasha's now able to carry into her next feud on a bit of an uptick. We don't know what's waiting for Asuka, but at the same time, that could be good, because Asuka has a lot of different directions to go now. And now she's going to be angry.
Yeah. Like, we're back to where Asuka was, just this indomitable force, the way she, you know, going into WrestleMania against Charlotte, and even after, because to that point, Charlotte was the only one who was capable of beating her. But we're now reaching this, like, the turnaround where we've seen the women in the roster transforming, where Asuka's mostly remains stable, and she's just been, like, a cornerstone for the women's division. We've seen, you know, Bayley's heel turn. We've seen Sasha's face turn. We've seen Alexa transform. We've seen the Riot Squad apart and together again. We're witnessing transformations in the women's division, and it feels like Asuka isn't losing ground or losing a step. It's everyone's caught up to her now.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
It's very good.
And now it's up to her to take that next step of like, okay, if everyone's catching up, I need to change it up a little.
She's been too nice lately. She gets complacent.
Like earlier in the match, she got comfortable. She was, you know, messing around with Sasha. And ultimately that could have been the thing that bit her in the ass was like, okay, you didn't take her seriously because you've beaten her before. So now do you go back to almost like a little bit more of a cutthroat Asuka where it's like, all right, no, I'm not screwing around.
We'll have to see. Moving on. The women's Survivor Series elimination, Matt. Team SmackDown of Bianca Belair, Ruby Riott, Liv Morgan, Bayley, and Natalya take on Team Brawls, Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, Lacey Evans, Peyton Royce, and yes, in fact, Lana.
Now, Rock, I want to just say, you're the one who put this out in the universe, okay?
When I put it on the universe, it made sense.
Uh-huh.
The way they did it made zero sense.
It doesn't matter. You put it out in the universe. You allowed this to happen. So now you need to deal with it.
Oh, and I will. And I will. One, Peyton Royce looked good in this match. They gave her time to shine. More of that, please.
Yeah.
Like, she's good. Let her perform like this. Not 2-minute matches. Let her work.
Yeah, and not comedy spots or really annoying spots that she's been stuck in.
Separate her from Lacey Evans. Let her work. Vince likes her. Let that happen.
Liv Morgan looked good in this match.
Yeah, Liv looked great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She wrestled well, too.
Good call. But no, like, this match was kind of that, you got to see some of the girls shine that you don't normally get to. You know, Ruby got to have a chance to actually wrestle. Liv got a chance to perform. Bianca got to look, you know, like the blue chipper. And Natty was there.
Natty did her job. She filled the space.
The funny thing is when Natalya started to talk about, like, I've been in the most Survivor Series matches, I've been in the most, I started to kind of go, yeah, cause you've been around a while. It's that kind of thing of like, you know, Ric Flair having 17 title runs. It's kind of like, yes, when you've been there that long, you get a lot of title runs.
Also, whatever surfboard maneuver she was trying did not quite work.
Oh my God, that
was awful.
That, like, as soon as she had to, like, readjust the ankles, I was like, this isn't gonna work. No, that collapsed. That crumbled.
I thought she was gonna do, like, that Indian deathlock, you know, where you fall on your back with the legs tied up, but then she tried to go for the arms, and I was like, wait, what?
She's doing some really weird inverted surfboard, and it didn't work at all.
Which then just transitioned right into the sharpshooter, and...
It's like, I know how to do this one. Let's try this one.
Oh, wait. I think maybe this is what I was meaning to do.
Yeah. Okay, so Bianca looked really good. That's all the positives from this thing.
Wait. What? Peyton eliminated Bayley.
Yeah. That's good.
Let's touch on that. The fact that you actually had Peyton Royce take down your longest reigning SmackDown Women's Champion. And I mean, fairly decisively pinned her.
And early in the match, too.
It made sense because Bayley was too confident. She was
doing the cocky, you know, quote unquote captain role. And yeah, Peyton being able to get one over her is great, but it's just the fact that like when she beat her and then she yelled out like, I pinned Bayley. It's like, yes, that's a big deal.
All right. So let's talk about this putting Lana in the corner thing. That's all we did. We just stuck her in a corner and went, you stay there. You do not do anything. Even when all 9 of us are gathering to do a big suplex spot, you just stay there and watch us do things.
Stand there, do nothing. It's what you're best at.
Perfect storytelling would be you spend 9 weeks trying to make people feel bad for her. You do a whole WWE special on her on the network. Talking about, you know, depression and everything like that. Tug at your heartstrings, right? To make you feel something for her. So the finish should be
It's like her husband has to work for Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
Feel bad for me.
Feel bad. So the finish should have been her getting in the ring and winning the match.
Yeah,
her...
I really thought, I thought they were setting this up for Bianca to just be the giant slayer. Take, you know, like, survive Shayna and outwit Nia.
And then, and now yeah, it's fall on that banana peel to Lana. That would have been fine.
Cause then you can set the thing of she's still relatively new. She needs to learn, you know, the whole like Shayna getting pinned out of the clutch. It's one of those, okay, she got beat. She can learn from this kind of thing.
But if we're supposed to buy that she's improving and we're supposed to buy into her, her standing on the steps doing nothing and then winning by doing nothing and then having her gloat about being the sole survivor did nothing. Nothing
yeah,
for
didn't
anyone.
Gloat, it would have been better.
Yeah, but they had her gloating. Look at me. Look what I did. You did nothing. I now want to see you get put through the table for the 10th time because you did nothing.
I mean, it's weird that they book her in a way where you're she keeps getting put through the table and you're supposed to feel sympathetic for her because she can't get a break. And then she does something like this, which is a completely just cowardly heel tactic. And now she's going to be one of those, you know, like big bragging heels with no credibility. And I hate those because they do it
nothing.
Too often.
It does nothing for her. You had simple booking and you blew it.
Someone really wants Lana to stick around. I know they really want to use Lana. I don't know why. I don't know why they saw more, I don't know, more profit or something in Lana than they did Rusev. It makes no sense to me.
I mean, there are many reasons.
I mean, yes, Vince gets a boner and this, like, that's why she gets to be on TV.
There's two big reasons you keep Lana around.
I hate when they spend so much time protecting someone like Lana, who's not a wrestler, does not have the skills to actually compete in the ring, but they make her out to be a big deal and they give her things like this, like she's so important and she's just not. You had a chance to make Bianca Belair, which would have carried her. You know, you had the chance to, you know, push a storyline, you know, Nia and Shayna, you know, starting to get along or something. You could have done so much with this match, and that's their decision. The winner is the one who stood on the steps like a coward and did nothing. And she's going to brag about it, and we're going to have to listen to it.
Well, maybe we'll all get lucky and they'll have her not brag about it in like a braggy way and more of a, maybe next time you'll let me wrestle instead of having me stand on the sidelines like a dope.
Or like an I'll show you kind of moment.
Yeah.
Like, I'm hoping that this is like a second step on a longer journey.
I want out of the journey.
Hoping.
I don't want to follow the journey anymore. They had their opportunity. 10 weeks.
They've blown all that. You know, whatever they could have turned that into, they blew it tonight. Like Lana's thoroughly just, I'm done.
Because
I'm done giving her chances. I'm done waiting to see where they go. I'm sick of this.
But there's one big problem to that. You know what it is? They can't hear the fans telling them to change.
No, they can. They can read it all.
They can read it, but it's not going to be the same visceral.
Oh, I know.
As hearing an entire arena, like when Lana comes out, booing her because of what happened here, because that would change their mind of like, oh, you don't have fan reaction.
Yeah,
right now.
It's that visceral toxic reaction that tells them they're making a mistake here.
And
now you've just got an echo room of people going, this is a good idea, and hearing absolutely nothing outside of it.
People out there praising this was oh my God. If someone tweeted like, this was like, between everything, this was the greatest women's Survivor Series match in history.
See, I was just basically laughing because the entire build for this, we were saying Lana should be the sole survivor, and you were like, no, you didn't want that out in the universe.
No.
Well,
here we go. But no,
now it's there.
Here's how you could, here was the perfect follow up to it. She wins, does actual something, proves herself a little bit. Imagine she got a win over Asuka and won the title.
No.
You would have had something.
No.
You would have had something there.
Yeah, you would have had an Asuka who looks absolutely pathetic because she lost to Lana.
But no. I'm saying if she did something in the match, not stand in the corner.
Or what if she had gotten herself a partner and they had beaten Faszler and
like that. Have her win.
I would
something.
Like that better.
Have her
you,
win.
You do something where she can actually pin Naya and watch Naya completely lose her shit, realizing that she lost to her.
Just give
that
her
would
something.
Have been a good payoff.
Just give her something. This does nothing. Nothing for anyone.
I mean, there's part of me that likes the fact that she didn't have to beat Bianca, because I would not have liked that either, regardless of like how it was done. I wouldn't have thought that, like, as it was happening, I was like, oh, Bianca's going to beat Naya for the 10 count and then Lana's going to win. And as I was saying, I'm like, but I don't want Lana to pin Bianca.
And the way, you get out of that, you do that spot. They did get them both counted out. You have someone else left.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they should have done. They should have had someone
like Liv,
someone else left. Exactly. Or yeah, Ruby. On the team that could take the loss.
Oh, you know who it should have been? Natalya.
Yeah.
Because yeah, like all the stuff that they did. All the stuff that Natalya and Lana did in the middle of the match, if they had saved that for the end after Bianca and Naya got counted out and had Lana go over on Natalya, because there was a bit there where Natalia's like, you're dead weight, I'm going to leave you. But then that's two things. So she could have got the win over Natalya to kind of like stick it in her face and then stick it in the face of the whole Raw team. That would have been the way to go.
See, we came up with like 7 different scenarios that were better than what we got.
WTR, fantasy booking.
Now your main event. Roman Reigns, Drew McIntyre.
So I thought we got Randy Orton out of this match. We just changed him into a Samoan. God, the second Reigns really slowed down. I was like, oh God, we're going to do this.
But it picked up.
It did, but it took a while to get there.
I mean, with the character he's portraying now, like the methodical approach does suit it. Like I'm not terribly against that. It looks like he's just putting out as much effort as he thinks he needs to put out.
I know. It's just the chin lock, the headlock, the chin lock, you know, the 5-minute rest hold. It's like, I don't need that part of it. You can be methodical. You can be other things. Just.
Oh. By the way, before we get into like the match proper, can someone please tell Drew McIntyre he looks so stupid holding a sword by the hilt? Like, that is absolutely not how to make that entrance look cool. You look like you've never held a sword in your life.
Do you know the backstory about the sword?
It's Vince's.
Yeah.
But Trips gave it to him.
Well, I love the thing of, on Raw, it was Sheamus who gave it to him.
Well, yeah, that's how.
The backstory was Vince and Triple H. The announcer said it's from his grandfather.
I mean, it's kayfabe here. Like,
we're rolling through 5 different stories of how he got it.
My favorite part is Drew's walking around with the sword as they're rehearsing the entrance, and Hunter sees it and goes, "Wait, isn't that Vince's sword?"
Yeah, didn't I
give
the sword
it to
I gave Vince? I'm like, yes, it is.
Yes, it is. He regifted the sword. God damn it.
Now, can we come up with an entrance that requires a half of a T-Rex skull?
But the final, I would say, 10 minutes of this match was pretty good. They started brawling a little bit more. The first drop on the table went, ooh, 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 ooh.
Didn't do what it was supposed to.
So let's go again, and then boom. And then the spear through the barricade. Then we had a ref bump.
Yeah, the Claymore ref bump.
Yeah, Jey Uso show up, which kind of also happening.
Yep.
And yeah, for a moment there was like, Drew McIntyre's like kicking out of everything Roman's got. It's like, Drew's gonna win this. Drew's not gonna win this. Jey Uso showed up and there was a low blow and the guillotine choke. I miss the days since we honored the mid-90s tonight in the Undertaker special. When the referee would like raise the arm of the person to actually check on them.
Oh, the 3-arm drop?
The 3-arm drop instead of just, alright.
Well, they still do that, but it's only in the middle of the match when you know that their arm is not gonna fall on the third time.
Yeah.
So they gotta start doing it at the end of matches too. That way they can be, that way in the middle of the match when it's done, it's more believable that the guy might actually not hold his arm up for the third one.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out what the difference is between someone locking in that submission and you kind of like gently shifting the arm to be like, oh, they're out. When you watch someone else get like dropped with a claymore, And the referee just stands there looking at him for like 2 minutes going, eh, they're fine.
They're good. He's good. He's still alive.
He hasn't moved at all. Like, you could, like, poke him with your toe and you'd get the same response as if he was in the guillotine. But apparently, an arm wrapped around you means, nope, we need to
because if he maintains that hold too long, he's going to kill the man by cutting blood off from his brain. Whereas if he's just knocked out from a claymore, his condition is not going to get worse from there.
Okay, but wait. We saw in the women's match that, Ruby Riott was not in the submission anymore. She was knocked out and the referee stopped her.
No,
she got pinned. She got pinned. She was pinned.
No, because Ruby was in the pinning situation. She had Shayna's arms down, but when Shayna moved, that's when Ruby was passed out. She never, oh no wait, she did eventually pin her.
She reversed the Kira Fuda into a pin, but the ref's back was turned. So that by the time they got back to that, Ruby had been in it so long, she had just passed out in that position.
So Roman Reigns wins. Jay is now, Roman now accepts Jay for all his faults for not being a leader.
He's able to sit at the big boys table.
We think for Thanksgiving, maybe. Maybe.
Not at the kiddie table with
whatever the Samoan Uso.
Okay, so I have Twitter open and this is WWE Network's tweet. Exclusive. Lana is overwhelmed with emotion after defying the odds in the women's 5-on-5 Survivor Series elimination match.
What odds did she defy other than not being put through a table tonight?
So everyone thinking they're gonna go somewhere good with it.
Omega, she got over the odds of having smeared lipstick to win that match.
Yeah. So yeah, that's Survivor Series. Pretty good show.
Overall, it was good.
Yeah. Look at the whole thing. It's a good show.
Didn't feel 3.5 hours long, so that's always a positive.
It was all good. The ending wrecked you, but that's just because nostalgia and you don't really want to admit it's over.
I mean, I think we wrestling pundits, as we try to be here on the show, I think we've pretty much accepted it for a long time. We've just been counting down, like, is it going to be this year? Is it going to be this year? It's like, come on, he had hip replacements. Is it gonna be this year? I'm left wanting more, if only because I want to hear, I wanted that big retirement speech that went on 10 minutes and just pulled at your heartstrings, and I didn't get that.
Yeah.
Well, I think the other thing is this year at Mania, we saw a way that you could still do a Taker match. Gone are the days of Taker going for 20 minutes in a ring. We've come to accept that. We've seen the writing on the wall for a while. We've seen how it all plays out. But yet this year we saw a way of you could still have the man participate with all the smoke and mirrors that you might do in a ring, but still shoot it in a way that could make it intriguing. So I think in some cases you're kind of looking at this, especially after this Mania, going, well, wait, what if they could still do another year or two? We could still see insert wrestler you may want to see here. And by the way, if anyone says Sting, so help me God, no. I don't need to see 2 50-year-old men trying to do that.
But at some point, you have to go, like, there's a limit to how far you're willing to go with that. Cause, you know, at some point, Taker's going to be in his 70s, 80s, and he's just going to participate in CGI matches. Just pre-render the entire match. We can have him with anyone ever. We have him with dead people. Just have The Undertaker wrestle whoever we want. It's all done in CGI. Just stunt actors in, like, mocap suits. And
except we would still really get a Terry Funk in that respect if we had those two.
And the thing with him is he'd rather do the physical match than the cinematic match.
Right.
Yeah. He stated that he's okay with the Boneyard match, but he doesn't want, because he feels like it's cheating.
It's also physically. The stopping and starting does not help him.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get that lactic acid built up. You get a lot of, you know, you get up for that moment and then it's like, okay, wait, we're down for about 30 minutes resetting.
Cause it's shot like a TV show or like a movie, you're like movie stuff. And that is grueling. In a lot of ways, it's more grueling than a match because there's a lot of stop, start, and it goes on for hours.
The match, it's 20 minutes. You got your adrenaline going and all right, I'm good.
Yeah, but you see where they had, yeah, then you remember, like, oh, like, they had to, they took, like, 6-7 hours to film this until the early AM hours. Like, that's gonna be rough on him.
Yeah.
That's gonna be rough on everyone.
It is. Alright, Brent, you have a job to do.
Okay. So, overall for the night, for anyone who is keeping track, Raw won 4-3.
Ooh.
Total brand supremacy there. Woohoo!
Yeah. It was that brand battle royal at the start of the night that really offset things. Woo.
Thanks, Miz.
Yeah, thanks for rolling to your left by 3 inches. Yeah. Officially got you the win.
Officially made you the superior brand. But in terms of pick'ems, starting from the bottom, at 1-5, we have The Wheel. In 12th place, at 2-5, we have Blaine and Tim.
All's right in the world.
In 11th place, all by their lonesome, me. In 10th, oh my god. In 10th place at 4-2 is the 8-Ball. Son of a bitch. In 5th place, we have Jobber, Lindsay, Rob, Rock, and Subway all at 4-3. That's right. Rock, you did as well as Subway. Be proud.
I am very proud.
In 4th place at 5-1 is Sheila, because we did not get a definitive answer on the Battle Royal. In 2nd place, tied 5-2, we have Amy and Omega.
I'll take that.
That means all alone at 1st place at 6-1, Casey.
What? Yes! I did not expect that. I expected to be way, way further down.
The only match you got wrong was the New Day.
Ah, it's cause I love the New Day.
Cause the New Day rock.
They do. Oh, that's amazing. I'm quite proud of myself.
Genuine excitement. Well done. But
it's because I use Manscaped, guys. It's because I use Manscaped.
Yeah, go to manscaped.com, use code WTLife, save 20% off, and get free shipping all month long. Use the code. Do it. Do the thing. Black Friday is coming and holidays. Buy stuff for loved ones. Use the code. Alright, tomorrow night, it's the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. The Rack won't be live on Thursday, but you'll have the Rack, Thanksgiving Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble special. Check that out, we'll review Survivor Series, get Lindsay's thoughts on the whole Undertaker retirement. You can check out the Rack Extra Reviews, the Brothers of Destruction documentary, that's available now, all the episodes of Ms. and Mrs., now available. As well, Saturday night, midnight-ish, another edition of CB Radio, CBRadio.com, GreaterThanGreatTheMain.com. Wrestle Talk Radio will be back next Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern. Tune in for that. It's at WTR Sunday on the Facebook and the Twitter. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Keishi, plug some stuff.
You can find me on Twitter at Kyle Driver. I tweet things about how I enjoy music being played on Tesla coils.
And he's right about that one. He's actually right about it.
Yeah, no, we smoothed it all over on the Twitter. We're all good.
All good. Brent, plug some stuff.
Well, if you want to find me on the internet, you can find me on Twitter at King Kittens. You can also find me on CB Radio. CB Radio not so live when we get around to doing those. And also playing Fortnite with friends and having fun with gas cans.
Omega.
So if you want to follow what I am doing on the internet, you can follow me under a few different names over on Facebook and Instagram. Search for The Plastic Addict. However, if you want to see me where I'm most active, then follow the word TJ Omega around the internet. That is the Twitter handle. That is the YouTube channel, which is being updated at least twice a week these days. And for a few more videos that are not on my website, or not on my YouTube channel, check my website, tjomega.net. I'm keeping busy these days, so keep an eye out. And follow over on twitch.tv/tjomega. I am trying to stream as much as possible as well.
Tim's at Flames Forums, at Voicing Sanity, and at Man Kitchen TV. See how simple that spiel is? Really quick, just plug your stuff. We get out of here. This has been WTR Sunday Night, presented as always by Manscaped.com. Code WTR Live. Do the thing, 20% off, free shipping for the rest of the month. We'll see you next Sunday night for another edition of WTR Sunday Night.
WildTalkRadio.com.